This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han. And we continue with the top business stories of the day. Just before we begin on that, let me just mention the fact that after the 8 o'clock bulletin, I'll be speaking to His Excellency Carlos Felix Corona, Mexican Ambassador to Malaysia, as well as Abubakar Koikuti, Senior Director of Market Access International Partnership at MARTRADE, the Malaysian External Trade Department. It is there, together with Miti, are organizing a Latin American Business Day, and that's coming up next Tuesday.
And I wonder, you know, how much, what's the level of penetration by Malaysian businesses?
Very little. It's about 2%.
Wow. And so 2% of total trade?
Of total trade.
Oh, really?
Wow. Malaysian external total trade, 2% is with the Latin American region. And we're talking about the Latin American region plus the Caribbean, excluding everything in the Americas, excluding the US and Canada.
So there's a lot of upside potentially for Malaysia.
Absolutely. And the country we trade most with is Mexico, but 80% of that total trade goes to Mexico, though the one country in Latin America and in the Caribbean that we do, in fact, have a free trade agreement with is with Chile, and Chile being one of the most globalized countries of Latin America.
See, there we go. You got Malaysian exporters having to be fluent in English and obviously Chinese as well. And
maybe Spanish.
Yeah, es muy importante aprender a hablar español.
Pero quiero aprender.
Okay, well, we've quite the linguists here.
That's it. That's all. Yeah, he said it twice now this morning.
We've
hit the upper limit.
One year of Spanish in college, and that's all I got.
That's all you got. Okay, very important though. I think for people who can still sign up for this event, it's coming up next Tuesday, the 1st of August. Over 700 people have already signed up. And then there's even a segment for young people. So if you're young and you want to get into about entrepreneurship and how Latin America and how you might connect to that continent, huge opportunities there. This is also an event for you. It's also divided in sectoral terms, so they do an assessment, both Malaysia as well as Latin American countries, sector by sector, oil and gas, halal. Halal is big. Oh, hundreds of people have signed up for the halal sector. Now, this is not necessarily just selling halal goods to Latin American countries, but actually selling certification. So Malaysian certificate, halal certification is very important for Latin American countries that are exporting to the Muslim world, to the Islamic world. So beef, for instance, certified halal can now be sold to Saudi Arabia, and you can imagine most of the Middle East and such. So lots of potential.
So that's a services export. Very good for us.
Yeah, but also, you know, I recall from my recent grill with Eversafe Rubber, which recently listed here in Malaysia, they're also looking at exporting those retreaded tires to Brazil. And also, they're actually looking to tap into that growth in Latin America or South America in that instance, as opposed to, say, maybe boosting their capacity here in Malaysia. Why? Because they are seeing more upside for the South American market versus, say, China or even Malaysia.
Yeah, lots of interesting stuff there. Brian?
Sharad, did they actually talk about why the numbers are so low?
Well, this is it. It's a question of comfort zone. So the general assessment is Malaysian businesses are in a comfort zone. They think of particular markets and they haven't pushed forward. And this event next Tuesday is an attempt to do precisely that, open up possibilities. So remember, catch that grill after the 8 o'clock bulletin. Now we come back to the stories that are animating. We talked about this, lots about Facebook yesterday. Today we have Amazon. Amazon's shares yesterday briefly propelled founder Jeff Bezos past Bill Gates as the world's richest person. The market was anticipating strong numbers for Amazon, but the share price fell after earnings were less than expected. Very interesting, because in the Facebook story that we did yesterday, it was the opposite. The expectations were exceeded by Facebook in terms of where the numbers were coming from and market share and such, and that gave the Facebook stock bump.
Yeah, but that Facebook rally still continued yesterday, at least overnight Malaysian time. Facebook closing up 2.9% versus Amazon, which ended down 0.65%. So you had Jeff Bezos, you know, briefly becoming the world's richest man, surpassing Bill Gates, but he is now below that $90 billion mark. So as it stands, Bezos is now worth $89.3 billion US dollars. Bill Gates still number one. 1, for now, 90.7 billion.
Interesting. Number 3 on that list is Amancio Ortega.
The Zara guy.
The Zara guy. That, mm-hmm. you know, might not be a name that is as well known as the Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates of the world.
Yeah, no, certainly. When you go back through the last 23 years or so, 18 of the last 23 years had Bill Gates as the world's richest man. The only people who have laid claim, although somewhat briefly or relatively briefly, to that crown was the likes of Carlos Slim.
From Mexico.
Mexico, yep. That's right. Mm-hmm. And also Warren Buffett. He was the richest back in 2008. So Jeff Bezos, he held it like maybe a couple of hours, I think, before falling back down to second place. But you think it's only a matter of time, though, given how much Amazon shares have rallied. Bezos owns about 17% of Amazon. And, you know, there's even talk now about him becoming the first ever in recorded human history, the first $100 billion man.
I mean, the numbers are, in some ways, unimportant, right? Because they're a barometer. What they are a barometer of where the economy shifted, right? So in the top stocks, you would have had the oil and gas players. And these are the people associated with them, right? The robber barons of the 20th century, you know, who had, you know, gas fields and all that. Today, it is people who have, you know, a bookstore that has no bookstores, or a taxi service that has no taxis, or a hotel that has no hotels, you know, that kind of thing.
But there's one commonality. It's about monopoly. If you look at the robber barons, they were monopolists or duopolists or oligopolists. Exactly the same. It's a winner-takes-all market. So if you look at Facebook, you know, the FANG stocks, you look at Amazon, they are leaders in their respective space. They've killed everybody else. So, or they're killing everyone else. Yeah. So that's the reason for the wealth concentration.
Yeah, and that's something that really we need to watch. If we look at some, we talked about yesterday, the Parliament passed the e-hailing bill, you know, that allows for basically your Ubers and Grabs to flourish and to be secure that they're a legitimate business. But it's important that none of them be kind of turf off everybody else, and then consumers are left with no choices. We don't really want that. I don't see how that's ideal for consumers.
But apparently, you know, when looking at, say, Amazon's growth prospects, there appears to be some cracks here now, because you're now finding Amazon having to venture into different capitals, different verticals, right? We recently spoke about the acquisition of Whole Foods. They're trying to take on Walmart on that front. They're also competing against Alphabet and also Microsoft when it comes to the cloud computing space. You know, so they're having to venture elsewhere to really find that growth. Now, on top of that, if you look at their latest reported earnings there, they're having to pay more to find a kind of growth, right? And I believe we've got a closer look of the numbers here.
You see, one of the things in terms of them paying more, and Han, I've got to play the other side of the equation, Amazon has always invested. Now, I'm a proponent of the earnings-related growth. Amazon is all about growth. So what they've done is, traditionally, they've invested even though they were losing money. Now, this is an These latest numbers show that basically they're not just going for top-line growth. They're investing in the future as well. So the key example of that is they've just yesterday announced that they are starting Amazon Prime in Singapore as a first step towards expansion in this region. Now, that's really going to open the floodgates in terms of new opportunities for Amazon's growth. But in the short term, which is exactly what's reflected in their numbers, they've got to invest.
Yeah, but they've got to invest, but at the same time, they have to find that edge going up against the likes of Alibaba, by extension, Lazada, here in the ASEAN market, right? So how do you compete against the likes of Lazada? I mean, yeah, you have to invest, but, you know, to what advantage? In fact, if you go to the Bloomberg article where they interviewed, I believe his name is Henry Low or something like that, like the Amazon Prime representative here, when pressed for that answer, you know, what is going to be your edge? He couldn't really give a definitive answer. Oh, we'll bring more products from America and our wide network of distributors, yada, 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 same old spiel, right? But then at the end of the day, how's it going to be better? I mean, it might be better if, say, that's a price war, that's good for us consumers, but that's not going to be good for Amazon's bottom line, though. I mean, going back to some of these numbers here again, for the second quarter, right, Amazon sales gained 25%. But But their expenses actually outpaced that. Their expenses grew on year by 28%. That's 3 percentage points more than how much they're actually bringing in. Yep. So they're having to spend more to try and bring, you know, more money in. So whether or not it actually pans out, again, in different verticals, we have got these behemoths, be it Walmart, be it Alibaba, to contend with, that is going to be, you know, quite the task right there. But, you know, one wouldn't put it past Jeff Bezos to really, you know, reach that $100 billion mark. So with Amazon Prime here in Southeast Asia, kicking off in Singapore, potentially rolling out across the region as well, I think for us, you know, those listening right now, how much will Malaysia play a part in propelling Jeff Bezos to become the world's richest man and possibly the world's first 12-digit man?
Okay, so the other story that we have in our crosshairs is Twitter. It used to be one of the stars of the tech industry, but it's recently lost its shine. Twitter shares dropped as much as 13% in midday trading after its second quarter earnings of this year were released yesterday. What do we know of Twitter? I know Donald Trump uses it a lot, yep. But that might be a curse rather than a blessing for Twitter.
Exactly. So I don't know how many how much of Trump's tweets actually accounts for, you know, total tweets. When it comes to, say, monthly active users, it has been flat. 328 million monthly active users. I think, Sharad, you are definitely one of those. I am not an active user.
Neither am I.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say this, man. You know, if Twitter closes down...
Because, you know, you need to be on Twitter, you need to be succinct and you need to make your point in 140 characters. If you can't do that, then I guess you're not in the game.
And you also need to
burn.
Be old.
Yeah.
But so, you already have, you know, well, we have this program. We have Facebook, right? And so obviously Twitter is finding it hard to try to find the kind of user growth that, say, Facebook. I mean, Facebook has got like, what, over 2 billion active users right there. Twitter, flat, 328 million. On top of that, they are still posting those net losses.
So one of the key things, and I said that a few seconds ago, was the fact that you need to be old to use Twitter. So Twitter's one of the reasons that which is why I'm not using it.
Because you're not as old as you look.
So one of the key things, and this is the underlying reason why the growth has flattened. 31% of their users are above 50. And they have an aging profile compared to people like Facebook and Snap.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.